This, we will be presenting Grupo Argos results for the first quarter 2021. At the end, we'll have a conversation session just to clarify any doubts that we might have. We have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Pedraíto, Vice President of Financial Corporate Strategy, Rafael Oliveira, Vice President of Talent and Corporate Matters, Mauricio Osa, President of Audiencia, Maria Clara Aristizabal, Manager for the Urban Development, Pablo Royal, Vice President of Financial Corporate Finances. This conference has been translated into English simultaneously. Besides, we want to remind you that you might find the information on our website. The information for all the quarter, together with the presentation we'll be following during this presentation, you can download it from Financial Information afterwards in the section Reports. I want to invite you to move on to slide number three, to start this teleconference, by which I want to give the floor to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia. Good morning to you all. Good morning to all the collaborators of the group that are with us today. I want to send a warm welcoming, full of hope and positive energy in this moment, hoping that you all are good and safe, you and your families. And we should keep on caring for us and our families and facing the challenges that the modern world has brought to us with all the energy, all the hope, with the conviction that we will step out of this strengthened and more energetic. And so I want to start by mentioning that this year has been an unseen test, a deep and unseen test for humanity. For the economic systems, for the health systems, for the global economy, and obviously for the productive sector. But nevertheless, thanks to the talent and to the conviction that drives our actions in the different fronts of infrastructure, we could say that Grupo Argos has proven its strength, its structural strength, and its adaptation capacity, fast adaptation capacity in a very uncertain environment. This volatile environment that we face right now, when we ratify the stability of our portfolio and the strategic power that we have within our business diversification, we want to highlight especially the resilience for electric assets, as well as our participation in cyclic sectors of infrastructure. Since second quarter this year, this has been important catalyzers of the organization's growth, facing different reactivation economic plans and the stimulus packages that have been led by different governments in different geographies and countries where we operate. The results of this first quarter follow the context of recovery and economic strength, improve the operational strength that we achieved during 2020 with huge efforts in terms of efficiency. Today, we count with an organization that's lighter, that reached savings in terms of expenses close to 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos previous year, and that we will keep maintaining. This commitment represented an important contribution in order to close the first quarter with a growth year to year of 50% in the consolidated EBITDA and an expansion of the pro forma margin of more than 240 basis points. The operational efficiency added to a favorable environment in terms of interest rates and due to the optimization of the financial expense that reduced 28% year after year, thanks to the financial discipline of the business group, was translated into a consolidated net profit of 191 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter, with a significant growth compared with the same period previous year, during which the pandemic didn't even have affected materially our operations. I just wanted to emphasize on this element because if you remember, in the first quarter of 2020, the affectation was not that important in terms of the pandemic or in the airport traffic or in road traffic or in construction material. It was just up till the end of March, probably last week, where we started seeing those effects driven by the pandemic that were accelerated in the second quarter of 2020. Because of this, it's a growing result as the one that we present today in terms of a first quarter that had, I could say, was meant normal in its operations, but it showed an important growth in terms of 2019. This is twice as relevant. 2021 is behaving much better than 2020. That was actually better than 2019. So this context, I believe it's a good foreground to present the operational results of our businesses and offer those that listen and that are with us today a better understanding of the consolidated results of the business group, with the main objective of analyzing the recovery that we have been seeing since the beginning of the second semester previous year, and that for the first quarter of this year confirm the competitive position of our operations. Now I want to invite you to go over the behavior of this med business. This has been proving a positive growth quarter after quarter that proves that the economic reactivation is happening together with the leverage of infrastructure. The new housing in Colombia has been driving the cement demand. First quarter, we reached 25% of this and non-this housing compared with the previous quarter. The commercial dynamic allowed that the salt found by the company in Colombia reached 1.2 million tons in the quarter and registered a growth of 19% year after year. In the United States, the sales volume grew 3% compared with the first quarter 2020 in order to reach a total of 1.4 million tons, even in a period with a strong winter, especially in Texas, that decelerated the construction expense. In this region, we have very optimistic forecast in terms of the sustained growth of demand during the next upcoming years that will be driven by the ambitious infrastructure plan that's at $2.3 trillion in order to activate the economy. This plan, should be mentioned, contemplates investments in projects that are intensive in cement consumption that, according to preliminary calculations, could add in between 40 and 80 million tons of cement in terms of consumption for the next 8 years. So this means between 4 and 8 million tons per year in a market that currently has been consuming 100 million tons per year. So this means a growth of 4 and 8% additional. Also noting that the operational level of the assets in the United States industry is operating almost to its full capacity. Central America also registered a growing volume and closed quarter with 1.4 million tons sold, growing at 21% compared year after year, where we want to highlight the performance of Honduras and Panama. The progressive recovery in the sales volumes of all the region has allowed us to close with revenues of 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos, growing at 6% year after year, while the EBITDA reached 445 billion Colombian pesos, growing at 30% and expanding its margin in 350 basic points, which proves the power of the operational leverage and marks a positive trend in order to continue advancing in this path of profitability maximization. The company generated a free cash flow for a period of 268 billion Colombian pesos, which allowed making debt amortization for 138 billion Colombian pesos and improving its leveraging level that closed in a multiple 4.05 times its net debt over EBITDA. This effort added to the favorable environment in terms of interest rates led to reduce financial expenses of Grupo Aksigento Salgosin at 23% compared to the first quarter previous year in order to reach a net profit within the control of 55 billion Colombian pesos for the first quarter. The efforts that have been done in terms of deleveraging will be driven by the announcement of disinvestments in 24 plants of concrete in Dallas, and the product of this disinvestment will be 100% destined to debt amortization, which will allow Cementos Argos advancing in its goal of reaching optimal capital structure. We see these achievements as a very important catalyzer for the value recognition, and we expect that this will be clear proofs to the market. Now I want to invite you to look at the main aspects of the energy business. We want to highlight the results where entering new businesses and innovation have gained relevance. The housing sector, in which we reach with a value offer in terms of regulated energy, internet, and other products and services, presented an increase of 48% year after year in terms of revenues, while the business segment in which we attend industrial customers with non-regulated energy, cogeneration, thermal districts, solar panels, or other between other products, reached a growth of 78% compared with the same period previous year. In terms of the generation business, the company closed the quarter with a growth of 18% year after year in terms of generated energy, a result that has been driven by the entrance of new plants, such as the San Andrés de Puerque plant, and a better hydrology. From those 1,396 gigawatts hour generated per quarter, 99.1% was generated with renewable sources, from which we want to highlight an increase of 50% year after year in the solar energy generation in Colombia, given the incorporation of the new plants in 2020. Celsia registered a revenue increase of 6%, reaching 980 billion Colombian pesos during the quarter. EBITDA reached 336 billion Colombian pesos during this period, with a growth of 2%, a lower growth than revenues, given that in this period we had an extraordinary contribution for the energy purchase option that we had in thermal flooded generation from previous year. This means the bases are not exactly comparable. The operational stability, better behavior of interest rates, and the financial discipline allowed the company to reduce a 47% its financial expense year after year during the first quarter. The proper operational and financial performance was translated into a net profit for the controller of 84 billion Colombian pesos, which means a growth of 28% year after year. In Odinsa, the rail concession business of the group, we mobilized 114,000 vehicles per day on average during the quarter, achieving a growth of 11% year after year. Only in March, the company closed with an average traffic of 117,000 daily vehicles. All the assets contributed in a positive manner, except the Tunnel de Oriente, that just grew a 2% year after year, proving that interurban traffic between Abra Valley and San Nicolas Valley, that this asset connects, is compensated mainly by the drop of the airport traffic that this asset mobilizes. In the construction segment, there was a positive advancement in terms of the finalization of Pacifico 2. We want to highlight that during April, we delivered the functional units 2 and 3 of that asset, which the resources were freed according to the delivery of these functional units. Given that the work is coming to an end, the construction activity was less in this quarter compared with the same period previous year, which explains a reduction in the contribution for that specific segment in terms of the company's results. From another side, the airport business continues with great applications in terms of demand and closed the period with a traffic reduction close to 49% year after year. Nevertheless, it's also important to highlight that in March, we mobilized a total of 1.6 million passengers in our airports. It's the highest number since the beginning of the pandemic, and a very positive signal of traffic recovery for the upcoming months. In order to fight back against these effects of demand, the company has implemented a very important savings plan that allows the company to operate more efficiently and comply with the contractual service requirements. In Opaí, we want to highlight the closure in April of any negotiation that began on May 2020 and that compensates the effects suffered by this asset in the period between 23rd of March and the 30th of September 2020. Aligned with the negotiation of this announced agreements and previous stock conferences in order to mitigate the impact of the equity value of these assets, reaching an extension or achieving an extension of that time or that due date that was initially stated. At a consolidated level, mixed results of Odinsa were translated into revenue increase and EBITDA increased 9 and 20% correspondingly year after year. We want to highlight also the contribution of roads compensated by lower contributions of the airports. And this result is very important. The benefit that represents for the company, this implemented saving plan that led the company to a reduction of 11% in terms of operational expenses year after year, as well as a reduction of 5% in terms of financial expenses during this quarter. Thanks to the proper performance of road concessions and achieved efficiencies, the company reached a net profit of 15 billion Colombian pesos, coming back into a positive field. Now I want to invite you to go over the results, the behavior of the real estate business. This is found on slide 11. In the first quarter, I want to highlight signed the urbanism license of this project called Rivera de Mallorquín, which is found in Puerto Colombia Atlántico. It's a milestone that concretes cash flow revenues close to 21 billion Colombian pesos that will be reflected for the rest of the year. This license represents a very important step in terms of the advancement of this iconic project that till the moment registered more than 800 sold housing units at the end of the first quarter and 1,300 till the moment representing an amount of 179 billion Colombian pesos. This gives an idea of how this segment has been advancing and how it's running in the city of Puerto Colombia Atlántico. During this period, we registered revenue in terms of cash flow by sales of a 52% higher than what we registered the same quarter previous year, for a total increase of revenues of 41%, explained mainly, as I mentioned previously, by the signature of this partial plan of Rivera and Mallorquín. This, added to the expense reduction, gives as a result an improvement of 12% in terms of net cash flow, which is very significant if we bear in mind that during the first quarter of the previous year, yet we didn't evidence the impacts of the economy in terms of the pandemic. Revenues of the P&L increased 23% during the quarter, mainly explained by the appraisals of Pavas and Barranquilla assets, which reflects good dynamic of the housing sector in this moment. EBITDA for the period is negative because of the payment of the total land taxes for this year and the difficulty of the structuring at the beginning of this year. I wanted to highlight this specific point, or when I emphasize at this point, because we need to understand that in order to access this important discounts that make all financial sense. What we do in the real estate business is we're paying the totality of land taxes for the real estate assets for all 2021 since the first quarter of the year. And obviously, this has an asymmetric effect in terms of the asset performance, cash flow, and sales that have a better and more stabilized behavior for the rest of the year. In Pactia, the real estate business, we have a net revenue of 79 billion Colombian pesos, but growing 7% year after year, while the non-operational revenue was 54 billion Colombian pesos, decreasing a 5%. EBITDA for the quarter was 38 billion Colombian pesos and presented a reduction of 9% year after year. Nevertheless, after adjusting revenues by these investments, the operational net revenue and EBITDA grew a 1.4% and 8.5% respectively. In terms of this same assets for the quarter, the operational revenue and EBITDA reached pre-pandemic levels. It's a very good result considering the mobility constraints that still are applicable in many of our cities. During the quarter, almost 38,000 square meters of assets were renewed and 50,000 were commercialized. The dynamization of shopping malls mitigated the drop in sales that reached a minus 7% compared to the same period previous year, with an alleviation reduction of 56% compared with fourth quarter. In terms of logistic parks and the mini storage assets, the fund was able to grow its revenues year after year in an 8.2% and 20%, given the good dynamic or better dynamic of better occupation. Finally, Pactia continues seeking for opportunities of capital recycling through the sale of non-strategic assets. At the end of March this year, we have insured 33 billion Colombian pesos in terms of disinvestments. Moving on now to the consolidated results of Grupo Argus on slide 14, we can see the combined effect of the performance of our businesses during the quarter. Revenues reached 3.7 trillion Colombian pesos and growing at 3% year after year. But it's even more important, the effect in terms of the effect, given that we drop the lines of the P&L and that evidence the value of the operational efficiency that have been achieved by the business group. EBITDA, excluding revenues by this investment of ODEMPA in 2020, grew at 15% for a total of 952 billion Colombian pesos in terms of net profit. And the net profit grew 382%, reaching 74 billion Colombian pesos during the quarter. I want to emphasize once again in the fact that we are comparing a first quarter 2020 with a very good behavior and with a very strong growth, with a very good quarter 2021. And because of this, these are so relevant. In the next slide, we could see the contribution of each one of the businesses in terms of consolidated revenue, where we highlight the growth of the cement business and the energy business that compensates the impact in the airport business. The contribution for each one of the businesses to the consolidated EBITDA was relevant in order to impulse the pro forma increase of a 15% that has already been mentioned. We want to highlight the growth of more than 100,000 or 100 billion Colombian pesos in the cement business. The cash generation product of operational results has been partially destined to reduce the consolidated leveraging that during the last 12 years decreased a 7% for a total of 17.4 trillion Colombian pesos. This reduction has been led jointly with a profile restructuring in terms of the debt profile of the business group in order to prolong the due dates, reduce the short-term commitments, and use to our advantage the favorable rate environment that we have. In this line, we want to highlight a reduction of 27% year after year in terms of financial expenses that drove the increase of that profit, of the profit that we achieved this quarter. At a separate level, we also registered a pro forma revenues, EBITDA, and net profit during the period. The revenues reached 189 billion Colombian pesos and grew 15% year after year when we eliminate the non-recurrent revenue registered in 2020 by ODEMPA. These investments, EBITDA was 142 billion Colombian pesos with a pro forma growth of 19%, and a net profit closed in 118 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 35%. These results, as well as the consolidated results, confirm the power of the operational leverage and the importance of financial management that allowed a reduction of the interest rates in order to leverage the significant growth of the net of our net profit. Now moving on to analyzing the evolution of expenses separately for Grupo Argos. Since 2017, the expenses that correspond to the holding operation have dropped on average 11% per year, reaching a total of 85 billion Colombian pesos in the last 12 months, period in which close to 18 billion Colombian pesos correspond to depreciations and amortizations that don't represent a cash for the company. In other words, the cash expenses acquired by the holding during the last 12 months added a total of 67 billion Colombian pesos, which would be equal to a net present value of the total company's overhead, close to 670 billion Colombian pesos, if we use a multiple of 10 times. These expenses are equal to 0.3% of the cement assets, energy assets, and road and airport concession assets that are administrated by Grupo Argos. Conventionally, the expenses of Grupo Argos are evaluated in a unified matrix. Nevertheless, by the particular nature of this holding, the urban development business expenses should be bared in mind, or should be bared in mind separately. Bear in mind that they have already been incorporated within the net present value that's been assigned to that business unit in those prices done by a third parties. This means that the net present value of the assets of the real estate business have already within their quantification a discount of that overhead net present value for that business. In the right side of the slide, you will be able to see the detail of the expense for our urban development business that register expenses close to 45 billion Colombian pesos a year that have already been incorporated, as I mentioned before, as a lower value of the appraisal made by Colliers. It's because of this that we should not include as a higher value of the overhead of Grupo Argos, because this would be subtracted twice. It's also important to highlight the expense of the urban development business is composed mainly by 24 billion Colombian pesos of land taxes, close to 10 billion Colombian pesos of surveillance and maintenance for those assets, and only 12 billion Colombian pesos in terms of administrative expenses. I also want to note that the expense of that equipment over the administrative assets is close to 0.5%, and it's reduced to 0.3% when we exclude the different expenses different from administrative overhead. This is a number that's significantly lower than what has been charged by different real estate managers in Colombia, which are charging close to 1.4% of those assets that have been administrated, and that positions ourselves as an efficient, attractive, and competitive manager for real estate assets in the regional market. The separated debt of Grupo Argos closed the first quarter at 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, with a debt profile in which 92% of the credits are due after 2023, which grants a larger financial flexibility to the company. I want to highlight that the cost debt dropped 4.7%. It's a historically low level with a reduction of 230 basis points compared with the cost of the debt that we had in March 2020. The previous evidences the strategic financial management that was led by the group during last year in order to reduce its financial cost. The different debt multiples are coherent with our credit rating. Nevertheless, this was reviewed by Standard & Poor's, which after its analysis, improved to a positive outlook and maintained the AA+ rating. The improvement in the outlook, it's a clear signal of trust in the organization that's mainly based in the timely implementation of the shock plan that we implemented previous year, and the reduction of those expenses and costs in the strategic diversification, accessing capital market with structures that have been innovative and efficient, such as debts and the credits that are linked to ESG that we will also be mentioning further on. Now, moving on to this aspect, I wanted to emphasize on the fact that the credit, the ESG credit that has been signed by with Bancolombia for 392 billion Colombian pesos Colombian pesos, it's an operation that represents a milestone in a corporate financing innovation, which modifies the existing debt conditions in such way that its interest rate could drop up to 100 basis points if two sustainability indicators are met by the business group. The first one is increasing the participation of women in leading positions, and understood as people that are levels G14 and higher to a 35%. The second indicator is a commitment of reducing the greenhouse effect gases in a 37% by the year 2030. This transaction done by Grupo Argos added to a similar operation that was announced on the cement business in previous days, and plus the green bonds that we have been investing in Celsia reinsures the leadership of the business group in adopting financial schemes that are sustainable in the region, but also prove the real explicit commitment that the company has in terms of environment, in terms of social and corporate government. In addition, this is a clear example that acting responsibly is a good business, understanding that the reduction of interests could reach close to 8 billion Colombian pesos during the life of that credit. We keep on working on similar innovations, given that an organization that counts with more than 17 trillion Colombian pesos of consolidated debt. These types of value generation mechanisms are very important in terms of magnitude just simply to have an idea. A saving of 100 basis points over consolidated debt represents close to 170 billion Colombian pesos less in terms of interests per year. During the quarter, besides, we also made relevant advancements in terms of our environmental, social, and government strategy, including the announcement of planting more than 1 million trees that will be done through mechanisms of the Grupo Argos Foundation that add to more than 8 million trees that have been already compensated by the business group. Besides, we want to highlight a new financial support line for our more than 9,000 suppliers that employ more than 500,000 people, from which 80% of them are micro, small, and middle-sized companies with a sustainable factoring alternative that we have structured with BBVA for them, and that will help them care for their employment and strengthen their businesses in this moment. Yeah, these types of actions are the ones that commit the execution of Grupo Argos, not just to generate sustainable financial value, but also to positively influence in the performance of our allies and in the preservation of labor in Colombia in a specifically important moment. Now I want to speak about the stock price of Grupo Argos. I want to mention the behavior of the stocks in the stock exchange, which has not been coherent with the results of the company, and in our opinion, don't reflect the fundamental value of this organization. In order to analyze the price of the stock discount, I want to invite you to see a slide that's found in slide 24. In Grupo Argos, we believe in the capacity of growth of our free cash flow of our businesses, given the different dynamics that we have previously presented and the capacity of our human talent in order to manage this efficiently. This cash generation supports the vision that we have in terms of fair present value of each one of the investments and of its growth potential in our portfolio, in our role as strategic architects and asset management role. We have the capacity of rotating a portfolio and disinvesting assets for a full value, as we've done several times. A case of this would be the port business, in order to destine resources to other investments. The value vision would depend on the expectation of each investor, but ours is that in the value market, our investments in listed assets, which represent the majority of our portfolio, are currently negotiated at a very representative discount if we compare it with its fundamental value. When we analyze the value perspective from a market analyst point of view, which base their objective prices with future cash flow generation perspectives, we see a discount between the value of investments within our market price and the consensus of this analyst, close to a 14%. Besides of this broad discount between the recommended value of those analysts and the market value or ledger value, the market is incorporating in the Grupo Argos price another discount that we know as arbitrage discount. This is explained by the difference between the stock price of those investments listed by Grupo Argos and the value of the asset of the stock of Grupo Argos. Low liquidity of the Colombian market and the inefficiency of the market could be some of the factors that could have led to the amplification of these discounts, going to a figure that's close to a 20% in November to a 29% currently. When we combine both discounts, internally we see a broad potential of a broad appraisal potential higher than a 48%, which led to approve a program of repurchasing actions in 2020. Today, we're still seeing this option based on these current prices, one of the most attractive uses of our capital towards the future. But nevertheless, and we have previously discussed this, the pandemic, unexpected pandemic, and its impact in the businesses and cash flow led to this responsible decision around our cash flow with the end of guaranteeing sustainability in the long term. In other words, yesterday, an investor could purchase a preferential ordinary stock at 11,000 pesos and 9,000 pesos, respectively. in the market, the price would be 14,120, which means a discount of 29%. This assuming that the non-listed assets would be available for sale according to the ledger values. And in addition, there's also a discount compared with the recommended value by the analysts of this listed investments, which offers an appraisal potential even larger in the long term, and it's a great opportunity for the marketing our company. From a cash flow perspective, I consider that's important also to clarify, as we have previously explained, that we had visualized a stock reacquisition program at the beginning of 2020. The effects of the pandemic in year 2021 led to rebalance the incoming and outgoing flows in order to keep our primary superávit in terms of cash flow. These decisions led to postpone the reacquisition stocks and propose our shareholders a dividend that might be taken cash, partially cash and stocks, or completely in stocks, in order to keep this or maintain this primary superávit in order to guarantee the flexibility and sustainability of the company. It's also important to highlight the effect that the cash received by Grupo Argos comes mainly from dividends paid by its businesses, and that during 2021, the company will receive less dividends that correspond to the impacts of the pandemic in 2020, and in the disinvestment focus of the defined leverage from Grupo Argos towards our businesses. When we analyze the forecasted cash flow for the rest of the year, and with the objective of maintaining a stable capital structure, the company decided to pay a dividend, a cash or cash in stocks or only stocks, as we mentioned before, satisfying the preferences of each one of our groups of shareholders, simultaneously maintaining the equilibrium of that cash flow. In the short term, we also see with an optimistic view, the increase of those available cash flows in order for Grupo Argos to retake its investment projects. It's also important to highlight that the results that have been shown by the businesses will be the enablers of this investment. First quarter of this year, the operational cash flow for the group was of 570 billion Colombian pesos, growing an 85% year after year, being this the foreground of that cash that will be further on reflected in the separate cash flow for Grupo Argos. Finally, the performance of our businesses, its cash flow generation capacity. Even during these challenging times, the economic reactivations in other regions where we're present, and the talent and capacity of our human team in order to transcend, making or achieving a sustainability that serves as leverage for the business, fills us with enthusiasm and leads us to keep on tracing this path in order to strengthen that return over the investment with long-term vision for our assets, so with the selective growth and profitable for our organization. We keep proving that Grupo Argos is a solid organization, coherent organization with its purpose, and aligned with the fact of developing transformational processes and driving the economic and social progress in the sectors where we participate, and that today count with fundamentals, not just solid fundamentals, but also very positive fundamentals towards the future. Before ending, I consider also important to mention latest events in Colombia that have led us to make this call around trust, around dialogue, around serenity, in order to solve conflicts. We trust that this dialogue will be met in order to construct a path of consensus through constructing a collective view that respects life and respects healthy co-inhabitants between our citizens. Within our business group, our optimism is still intact, and we'll keep on working with all the energy, with all determination, and in a decisive manner for our country, for all Colombians, focused in a sustainable value generation for all our interest groups. So with this, I want to thank you for your presence, and I want to open now for Q&A for any doubts, questions, or queries that you might have. Thank you, Jorge. I want to remember all the participants what's the mechanism that we usually use for this conference. Everyone can ask their questions through the chat widget, and I'll be moderating them. I have the first questions. First question comes from Rodrigo Sanchez, Corredores de Vivienda. It says, good morning. Do you have any estimation that you could share with us about the financial impact that the San Marcos disinvestment will have in the Grupo Argos results? Yeah, just let me give the context, and afterwards Alejandro can proceed with the answer. The assets that we have decided to disinvest on corresponds to 24 concrete plants that are located in the metropolitan area of Dallas-Fort Worth, for a total of $180 million plus inventory adjustments and other adjustments that could oscillate between $3 and $5 million. These are equal to a multiple, as he had been previously mentioned, close to 10.6 times for the EBITDA of last 12 months. So this is a value generation operation from a disinvestment optic. But this has a very important rationale behind all this, behind this decision, and it goes as follows. The Dallas market is a market where the company doesn't have a vertical integration with cement supply, as it does have, for example, in Houston, southeast of the United States, in Florida, or in South North Carolina and Virginia, the Georgia also. Given the situation and given the different dynamics that the market presents, it makes lots of sense of making business investments around these numbers where there's, and besides that, no value due to vertical integration and using those resources in order to deleverage the balance and simultaneously reduce the invested capital in the cement business, which also confirms over capital. So making this concession let me give the word to Alejandro. Well, thank you, Jorge. Two things that I consider that are important and coherent with the answers that we heard in the cement business in this conference call, in the measure that the business has not yet been closed, and in the measure that the cost structure, you need to make certain adjustments. In this moment, there's no specific calculation for the determination of the profit or determining the profit. But nevertheless, I wanted to highlight two very important things. First is that both in Argos Cements as Grupo Argos, this disinvestment impacts the operational revenue of this investment. Second is that from a cash point of view for cement, it's a disinvestment according to what Jorge mentioned. Practically all this, it will be cash for the company. as they have mentioned before, there's a reduction, a leverage reduction, a very important leverage reduction. Let's remember that the ratio they estimated is going from 4.05 to 3.75, which also affects the consolidated indebtedness of Grupo Argos that follows this reduction in the measure, this profit, that there's going to be a very important profit both for cements as well as for the group, will have a positive effect over the EBITDA. So that consolidated leverage ratio of Grupo Argos level will be also important. This is a bit of the answer, aligned also with what was also answered in the Cementos Argos conference call. Perfect. Second question comes from Juliana Aguilar, Valores Bancolombia. She has two questions. First, concession. The both of them concession business. If we've had any effect due to the demonstrations happening in the country. And second, can we speak about that process of a business partner, SEEK? Well, thank you, Juliana, for both questions. This gives us a possibility of explaining both processes. I'll ask Mauricio Sousa, who's with us. Maybe you could answer the first part of that question, and afterwards we could tell a little bit about the vertical process that we're following, looking for a business partner. But yeah, Mauricio, we could start with you, maybe, speaking about the demonstrations that we've been seeing in the country. Morning to you all. Thank you, Jorge Mario. Effectively, since the 28th of April and 9th of May, there has been certain effects in the traffic flow in the roads that has been mostly concentrated in the demonstrations done in the coffee region. They have affected the mobility of individuals within that territory. There has been some partial shutdowns in El Llano, but not as much in Pacifico. Those and for the tunnel, we had a very specific situation, and that was during the 28th, 29th, and 30th. Even the 30th, we closed just due to precautions, trying to avoid any demonstrations. We understood that the situation was already under control and that the threat was low. We have reopened traffic, so we did have certain effects according to those days. In the case of Autopista del Café, we had a drop of 60%. In Tunnel de Oriente, 20%, in Pacifico 12, 40%, and in Valle del Meta, 40%. The important thing here is that we're speaking from the 28th of April to the 9th of May. What has happened since the 9th of May, the demonstrations have reduced, is that traffic has come back to its normal numbers that have been mentioned during this call. So we could say that the effects happened during that period of time, but traffic is back to normal. It's also worth mentioning, Jorge Mario, if you allow me, in the case of Autopista del Café, that's where we had our strongest drop. It's a minimum guaranteed revenue, and we are far away from that minimum value. But in the case that we have a volatility, we do have that guarantee. In the case of Pacifico 2, it's a collection differential. In the case of Tunnel de Oriente, it's a minimum expected revenue. So these types of situations, if they would prolong in time, and this didn't happen because it just took 12, 13 days, this would be hedged according to the way the contracts have been specified. So yes, Jorge, I believe that this would be my answer. Well, perfect, Mauricio. I could introduce the second part of the question. With previously mentioned in other meetings, the interest of counter with a strategic ally that can support us or help us in the concession business, not just supporting us in materializing those value theses, given the generation capacity that we have in our current assets, but also in the expansion of the concession business and infrastructure business, not just in Colombia, but in the Americas. The Odense concession business has developed a very powerful portfolio balance between assets of construction, operation, maintenance, and a very important group of assets in order to develop within structuring. But besides that, we are also facing very important moments in the region, more further than the specific situation that we're facing nowadays in terms of the growing needs of infrastructure. So this makes our view to potentialize the long term via two paths. One would be associated with a business partner that can contribute with capital, capturing on time those growth opportunities, but second, also to remunerate properly the competitions and the management of those assets that the group has and that are product of the way we've managed our human capital, similar to what has happened in private capital funds as a remuneration for the exceptional performances of assets. These two strategic levers have led us to explore paths. Truth is that, and I must say, not just the assets that the company has, but the growth opportunities, the reputation, and the quality and capacity of efficiently administrating the assets are very attractive for many international investors. And we've received, or we've actually received the interest of a very important group, the interest of participating in this. We are open. This is a competitive structuring process, but with a very favorable foreground implies having a business partner, but we will still maintain the control of the assets, and Grupo Argos should have value levers, not just for investment for this investment revenue, but also for handling these areas. So we have been advancing in the rightful path. There's nothing concrete yet, but I should say that there's a very strong interest from the other party, and this reassures two things. This reassures the power of the assets, the recognition of Grupo Argos and its capacities of managing international assets, and the track record that we have as an organization in tracking and constructing asset networks, as we've done in all our businesses. So we are definitely optimistic, and we're enthusiastic that this step will come to a happy end. So I don't know if Mauricio or Pablo or maybe Alejandro would like to mention anything in addition. Well, thank you, Jorge. I believe nothing else to be said. I believe your answer is more than right. Rodrigo Sanchez from Correos de Allende. Now, how much time do we believe that we will reach a point of equilibrium in the airport business? Very good question. Thank you, Rodrigo. Who wants to answer this question? Mauricio? Well, yeah, thank you, Jorge. Rodrigo, pleasure to meet you. There has been many updates of traffic projections. We've also had the possibility of sharing this with you all. And the most recent graphs, the most up-to-date graphs, that don't even collect the dynamic that the markets, Asian markets and the United States markets have been showing, which prove a recovery or show a recovery understanding a total recovery reaching the traffic that we had in 2019. It's probably at the end of the next year. So probably at the end of 2022, in terms of national and international passengers, we will be reaching those numbers explained by daily or monthly performance, not accumulated yet, but reaching the indicator. Two or three important data here. In March, international traffic of El Dorado Airport was 63% of March 2019. So this means with the current conditions, it's been able, and we hope that from here to the end of the year, should be recovering two-thirds of its traffic. The other two relevant data is the previews from this phenomenon of people traveling to get their vaccination or previews from the United States opening their borders. The usage factor of available seats is over 85% for national flights, and for international flights, over a 75%. So these indicators are the ones that determine the regularization of this historic numbers that we had. So the answer is that at the end of 2022, we're expecting to reach that normalization stage. Today, the traffic recovery within the United States is reaching 80%. This would be for April. I also believe it's important to mention that the global industry of air traffic and airport traffic has been, by rating companies, they have a very positive outlook. According to Wiyu Semaudi, so it's a generalized process, further than the actual situation, that doesn't just affect health situations or health but the daily or monthly average is showing a very positive recovery, mainly in national traffic. And national traffic is reaching 70% of the historic numbers that we had. So at the end of 2022, 2023, we should be recovering the traffic that we had previous from the pandemic. Okay, we have a question from Jairo Lastra. He wants to ask about the repurchase program announced by Grupo Sura and Grupo Nutresa and the position that we have over that program, if we would participate or not, selling the participations that we have over our investments. Being like this, what would we do with this liquidity, reducing the indebtedness of Grupo Argos or repurchase stocks? And he's asking about the ROI of the group that has been dropping. He says that if the EVA is negative, if we have considered reducing non-invested capital. Well, Heido, thank you for your question. I believe it's a very deep and interesting question. I'll be as direct as I can and as clear as I can. The first part, if we think on or if we have an intention of participating in the reacquisition actions, we have not yet thought about participating. We believe, we deeply believe that these investments, only the ones that we have in the portfolio, the cement portfolio, energy portfolio, concession portfolio, the ones that we have in Grupo Sura, Grupo Nutresa, are strategically solid positions with very important growth dynamics between all the businesses, and that offer a valuation possibility, a very important valuation and possibility for the future. Second is that those investments have allowed Grupo Argos to reach two very important strategic effects, long-term profitabilities that exceed a 14-15% in CAGR return in long periods. Obviously, this has all the investments, all the variable profit investments and those cycles that affect price loss in a certain moment. But when you look at this long term, we're not just completely convinced of the strategic value of diversification of Grupo Argos numbers in the strength of the Grupo Argos cash flow in the effect of supporting those cycles that are asynchronic in our investments. And this has a very huge stability value for the group. This is recognized between others, the rating companies, and also you as analysts. So, to be frank and to be direct, we believe that these are investments that fill us with satisfaction, that we believe that have a very strong evaluation potential. And the analysis I just read about the decoupling between the fundamental value of Grupo Argos stock in respect with the market, I would say that's a first outlook to the importance of certain actions that we have been taking. More specifically, that in Colombia, we should follow important visions of the capital market to alleviate functions, to have a market expansion towards other markets such as Chile and Peru, for the basis to be broadened, for us to eliminate cost restrictions or cost constraints. And that consideration that I made for Grupo Argos, I could extend to other of these investments, not just like in Cements or Celsia or Grupo Sura or Grupo Nutresa. So in summary, we believe that these are strategic investments that are very important due to the function that this the role they play in the holding asset group for its strong profitability long term, and because effectively the value generation perspectives are more attractive than long term investments. The short term investments, sorry, as we mentioned before, the dynamic of Grupo Argos in its different operational businesses, such as cement, energy, and concessions, as we just saw, have had a very important impact, really important impact. But the actions taken, the shock plan, have proven their results. And this has been supported by a recovery in the numbers that leverage in this larger efficiency, potentiates the cash flow, and that progressive recovery and that primary surplus is what has allowed us to increase profitability, reduce indebtedness long term, keep a better value generation, leveraging the performance of our companies on our strategic businesses. So we do believe in these investments. We do believe in the power of these businesses. We do believe also in the fundamental value, very, 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 very superior than what we see in the markets nowadays. So for the moment, we will not be participating. Stefania Mosqueda from Credit Corp Capital, and she asks if he wants to understand the difference between the results of the road concessions, understanding of the majority of the cases, well, the volatility of the income is low because it's not just depending on traffic. So why is there increase year after year on the tunnel if the traffic dropped in that same period? Hey, Mauricio, you want to answer this question? Or Pablo, you want to answer this question? Jorge, I could do that. Good morning to you all. Stefania, the tunnel, and as you ask your question, the results of road concessions for Odinsa are not directly related with the traffic that's going through those concessions, because as it was mentioned by Mauricio earlier, many of the concessions have guaranteed revenues, minimum guaranteed revenues, such as Dominican Republic, Azteca Café, and Pacifico 2, once it goes into operation. In the case of Tunnel de Oriente, that is the case. So the revenues of Tunnel de Oriente are multiplying the rate by the number of cars that go by. And in this case, as you say, compared to 2020, there's a reduction in the number of cars that use the tunnel, but the rate increased. So P per Q is higher And because of that, the revenues are higher than previous year, even though there was a small reduction in the number of cars using the tunnel. So this is basically the answer, but the most important thing is emphasizing on the fact that the revenues of the Odessa rail concessions, in their majority, don't depend on traffic because they have the risk mitigation effects on what you mentioned previously. Roberto Paniagua from Colpi Colombiana asks, what's the impact in the current infrastructure projects and the analysis for future projects in the case that we lose our investment rating, if we drop in the investment rating of country, in our country investment rating? Well, two questions. One is more technical than the other. I could give the floor to Alejandro later on, so he could give a tax description. And I wanted to clarify that a tax commission is a commission that executes itself and it's closed at the end of the year. So there's better estimations. The so-called components here, current tax, that's the one that is a cash payment, and the deferred taxes that have a very particular dynamic according to the behavior of the different assets that the portfolio offers. So it's a picture that it's a very dynamic type of picture, and Mauricio could specify it further. But the first question, it's a very deep question. It's a question that we could reflect upon thoroughly. I want to start by my point of view. I'm hopeful that Colombia can keep its investment rating independent from the certain indicators, for like NGO or credit puntos, are discounting this in a certain market in a certain measure. But once again, I'm optimistic. I believe that the country and the government is aware of the implications that a drop in the investment rating, not just for the public finances, but also for the productive and private sectors. This means credits will be more expensive. The loss of investors that see this market is a very important asset. So I guess we all are aware of how serious this is and how important it is for us to keep that investment rating. I particularly believe, because we have actively participated through ANDI and different associations with the government, that we will be able, as a nation, and the government has declared this, approving a taxation reform, a simple taxation reform, and a reform that, as the Minister of Defense of Finance, would bring in 13 to 14 trillion Colombian pesos and can help to attend and different programs for the most vulnerable. Those programs that the government has recently announced, but at the same time will allow them to balance the public finances and attend the indebtedness, the incremental indebtedness that the government has gone through this pandemic and the cash situation. I believe that with the consensus that could be constructed around this proposal, around the taxation reform, the rating companies in international markets will understand that it's a very special moment, not just for Colombia, but for many countries around the world, and that we are making a very strong effort to make certain structural changes that will allow this. So the repercussions in this case are delicate for the country, for the private sector. These are not desirable, but I believe that the right measures are being taken, and the framework has been constructed around in order to offer a new taxation reform that could stabilize the country's finances. Thank you, Jorge. I could maybe answer part of the taxes. Want to mention two things here. In terms of consolidated taxes, in terms of revenue tax, what we have is an increase going from 88 billion Colombian pesos to 91.6 billion Colombian pesos. We are speaking of increase of 3.7 billion Colombian pesos. So the question should be more focused towards the tax where we've had a reduction, and we need to differentiate between current tax and deferred tax. Obviously, our current tax had a reduction close to 5 billion Colombian pesos. That's a very important number. More than 4 billion are explained by less occasional gains, as we had in lower revenue. That's 800 billion Colombian pesos, or 800 million Colombian pesos. So, sorry, this is what explains the reduction that we had with the 2020 Q. Marivas is asking about the numbers, 2020 numbers, saying that even though they're positive, they're still under the numbers that we had in terms of 2020, in terms of revenues and operation and net profit. When will we come back to 2019 numbers? I guess there's an effect due to transactional comparisons pattern. I don't know if Alejandro can answer this question. Yeah, I believe the question is related with the year 2019. Very important to highlight that in 2019, the first Q of EPSA, for our case, at this investment billion Colombian pesos. So I believe it's very important also for us to remove that base effect. If we remove the base effect, clearly comparing this with our data, through 2021, what we have the Mauricio, or you maybe. But let's spiritual oriented or have a context to that answer. Remember that what was negotiated first was a memorandum of understanding, and there was a contract between the grantor and the concessionaire, in this case called buy-in, because of this is an obligation, a concrete obligation. This is materialized in a concrete fact, and I believe it's very important to understand. We went from an expectation to a reality. Second point has to do with a period relatively short of March. September, if I'm not wrong, the 23rd of March, the 30th of September, it's a similar number, by which, given the decision and turning this into a value that will be compensated. The indexation would be 12.9%, and the final value that was compensated and that making the calculation is an extension of 20.85 months. It's 737 billion Colombian pesos from year 2027. 738 billion Colombian pesos from year 2027. So I believe this is relevant. But to answer concretely Magdalena's question, in terms of revenues for Opaina, for Odensa, for Grupo Argos, this would be revenue. But this also means, and I believe that's also very important, is that we have 20 months more to operate an asset starting from February 2027. And this is value, obviously, and this should be reflected in the capacity of generating cash flow from Opaina. The topic is that a product of that memorandum of understanding, we have the possibility of having other agreements from those that you have already mentioned, because this is just compensating the effects up to September 2020. I believe that's for all, it's clear that the effect of the pandemic still is happening, and in virtue of that memorandum of understanding, we could pack other agreements that could give us further extensions. So that would be the answer in terms of airports. In terms of the National Infrastructure Agency, we also signed memorandums of understandings in terms of roads. Those roads, those agreements, according to the agreements we had in constructions, they would be applicable for Pacific Corridors, and this is being handled, and there could be 10 billion Colombian pesos for Pacific Corridors for 2021. And in terms of cash compensation in 2021, once we close that claim, and those markets that have those markets in terms of airports, those revenues that were not received, we can also ask for certain concessions, mainly in Pacific Coast also. And this will happen in the measure that we have resources for the concession. In this case, we don't have any excesses, but this might happen. In that case, we would cause the revenue. But if not, in the next collection differential, Pacifico and those would see the compensation of this deficit or of that effect due to a loss of revenues. So to round this up, according to the agreements we've had in terms of the rental understanding, probably this would cover those costs for Pacific Coast. But according to the result of those memorandums of understanding, we have had an extension of times in Pacific Coast, and we can have future extensions that, for those that understand, this means a larger value and more cash flow for all the stakeholders of that concession, parting from February 2027. Mauricio, the floor is yours. Thank you, Pablo. I believe you were clear and very specific in your answer. Just making two specific comments here, a general comment and two punctual comments. We have already started the paperwork that goes from October 2020 till April 2021. So this is a paperwork that might take a couple of weeks, couple of months, that follow the same methodology that has the one that was already signed and that's covered by that memorandum of understanding. And as Pablo mentioned, the measure that we don't reach a recovery, mentioned by recovery year 2019 as base, we would keep on doing that adjustment. So this would be the first very specific comment. The second is the collection differential for Pacifico Dos. That's where we would compensate any type of effect. As Pablo mentioned, that differential would be in 2023, and that's what we collect, what we wouldn't be able to compensate. But I just wanted to mention something that has been constantly mentioned during this call, and the responsibility and that signal of trust that the government's sending to the infrastructure industry in terms of being able, a complete sector of infrastructure with the government, being able to reach this bilateral agreement that cover any risk over controversies and also cover any risk in terms of problems in the execution of contracts, and that recognize the impact that this situation generated in all the assets. Those memorandums of understanding are signed, the other agreements are being agreed upon, but the path is completely open and clear, and this has been a very well-articulated job with an active participation of all those activities. So thank you. So now that we're speaking about this, Stefania Mosquera is asking, what is the effect that we expect for 20 months of OPAIN will affect the amortization? Pablo, maybe you can answer. OPAIN is a concession that It has an amortization per passenger. So in this sense, having 20 additional months, in theory, we'll be having a projection that during the life of the contract, we'll see more passengers. And because of that, we're making calculations of how many pesos per passenger should we calculate the amortization for in terms of that extension. So this is something that will favor the short term. There's going to be a shorter amortization. And this will give us more time and more passengers also to make the amortization of that financial asset. So this definitely has an impact that has, we're still in the process of determining the total value of the total value or determining the total amount of pesos in order to reflect these terms of amortization in the financial results. Firstly, using the previous metric, basically. This is a very important thing here, Pablo, is that the airport would be consolidated on Argo's group level. So it wouldn't come as a participation method, but who consolidates the airport at the end is Grupo Argos. The total effect happens in Grupo Argos. And what we've been taking even since the past at a group level is having an amortization policy that's conservative enough in order for us not to have any types of modifications. Actually, last year, the amortization was increased. It was a bit higher in function of that uncertainty that we had in the number of passengers, which was a measure that we took in the past, but shouldn't have any negative effects towards the future. And we believe that the amortization policy will be kept the same. Okay, so to end, we have some questions, some final questions. We have a question from Felipe Rojas and Mario Garcés. I'm going to join both questions. Why didn't the dividends were reduced in order to have the cash flow that would be released in order to act at a market level? And what's the action plan that the company has in terms of the price of the stock? Thank you. Very good questions. We'll try to answer them so quickly as possible. In terms of dividends, precisely that was one of the decisions that the board actually proposed from the assembly. Bearing in mind the effects of the pandemic, obviously the dividend flows coming into Grupo Argos that are composed mainly by its investments, operational investments, cements, Celsia, Audiencia Alpine, or the real estate business, and portfolio ones. They have different types of applications, such as in the cement business, that had a very important effect due to the closures. Or in the concession business that we had already spoken of, the close of El Dorado Airport, going from mobilizing 3 million passengers to practically none during some months of the previous year. This obviously implied a decision of constraining, or in certain cases, not being able to distribute dividends responsibly this period of transition while we structured the compensation decisions for the value of those assets as we did in the airport business. And that reduction of dividends coming into Grupo Argos, well, imposed a new reality that, as I mentioned in the conference, led always to keep ourselves under a principle that's very important to reinforce. And that's for there to be a primary super habit in the flows. So meaning by this, for them to always be in balance, revenues and expenses of the company, in order to have a responsible treasury position and cash flow position. That's why the board recommended that the assembly, and the assembly approved that the dividend that the company was paying to its shareholders could be done for all in cash or all in shares, or part in cash or part in shares. And those are two equations balanced in order to guarantee an incoming flow and outgoing flow. And we could be in equilibrium, responsible equilibrium in long-term view. So in order to say the idea of this question was executed as a strategy, looking at the reality of the businesses and its flows, and the responsible attention of our shareholders. Our priority is paying our shareholders. And obviously, we had a shareholder that had this vision that this was a very good option. There was a valuation potential in the long term, and others that wanted to take cash or the shares or a combination of both. So a bit of the answer of why we didn't constrain the dividends. It was following the proposal of the board, and all of them focused towards that same sense, recognizing our shareholders, the need of our shareholders, the need of remunerating our different shareholders that prefer cash, or others that prefer a combination, but at the same time recognizing the effects of revenues, and through that way, maintaining a healthy and responsible equilibrium. So precisely on that line was that we acted upon. In terms of the action plan and around the discussions of the stock's fundamentals and price expressed in the market, there's a plan, and I want to emphasize on this. This is a priority in our administration, in our day-to-day, what we do, and that has two great pillars. First pillar, and the most important of them all, is permanent and decisive work on the fact that the fundamentals of our business should be more solid and for results to be more positive with time. And this has to do with strategic decisions of reallocation, of reassigning capital, working on cost improvement, expense improvement, revenue management, sectors, innovations, new businesses that, as you've seen, are expressed in the different strategies that we have in Celse, Alpine, Cementos, and all of our companies. But so the first work, first effort, the first structural effort that leads our work as a holding is seeing that the strategy of capital allocation and the yield and the return and decisional and operational decisions lead to value generation. And I could say that the results that we are obtaining prove that this strategy is given its fruits. For us, this is the most important. Now, this is the second chapter that also it's also of our interest, and that this administration organization is constantly working on, is that we need to be transparent and we need to understand the information. So that's why in the conference call, we were focused on showing the sense of the vision that we have in respect to the analysis done and the recommendations, value recommendation given by our analysts, for you to understand what is the value of this company. So we need to share the information. We need to understand the fundamentals of the businesses that are listed, but also to understand those that are listed. So, for example, that's why we're paying in the holding expenses. We're paying so much attention to the holding expenses and how they should be separated from the real estate businesses, because we believe that the market is analyzing the expenses within the holding. And when you have them separate, there'd be a discounting two times. So it's a very important work of being able to understand with the analysts, with different investors, national and international investors, understand this better. The second action in the second chapter, a permanent fluent conversation, transparent conversation, and active conversation with all our current investors, current and potential investors, national and international ones. And we do this constantly, including Grupo Argos within our portfolio, innovating around measures as the one we have talked about today, attracting funds and investors that are sensible to this ACG topics. So there is a permanent work, a dedicated team, maintaining an active and strict communication with all our stakeholders and with our current and potential investors. And as a third line of action, we have a proactive conversation with the stock exchange so we could accelerate the implementation in mechanisms such as the ones we've mentioned by the market, by the capital market recommendations, making it more efficient, making it more flexible, allowing other actions from different particular stakeholders. And there's a project that has been filed into Congress. We need to help between all for it to be considered, for it to become a reality, and to make sure that this capital market recommendations will be adapted in our market, and it will send signals in the right direction. So summarizing, working on two main chapters, fundamentals of the business and understanding and locating and communicating efficiently, communicating in a transparent manner, what are we doing? A permanent contact with a large base of investors, national, international investors. Well, thank you, Jorge. Thanks to all the participants. We hope to see you all in the next conference call. Thank you all. Thank you for questions. Thank you for being with us.